Ephesians 4. And in doing that, let us turn to Mark chapter 10. And we're going to read from just a few verses from verse 28. Mark chapter 10, verse 28. Then Peter began to say unto Jesus, Lo, we have left all and have followed thee. And Jesus answered and said, Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or land, for my sake and the gospel. But he shall receive an hundredfold now in this time, houses, and brethren, and sisters, and mothers, and children, and land, with persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life. I cannot promise you tonight a good life, an easy Christian life here on earth. The Bible does. But I can promise you eternal life. What do you choose? This came as an answer to Peter and says, we have given up everything. And Jesus says, not to worry, Peter, for I am going to provide you with something far greater than you ever expected. For although you may think that you have given up, I have added a hundredfold to what will be given to you. And indeed, as missionaries, we think in those terms. There is no way outside of Jesus Christ that we would have been here. If we had, it would have been on their own effort. There is no way we would have enjoyed an apartment fit for Queen Elizabeth to stay while we were here. We have houses. There was no way that we could have come here and had brothers and sisters, mothers and fathers, grandfathers and great-grandfathers. The Zulus have a tremendous tradition. I love it. And that is, when they come into a community or when they come into an area, they look for the elderly people. And they spend as much time as needed to just sit and listen to the elderly people. Why? Because they know that the elderly ones have wisdom. They have been through life. And they pass it on. And could I challenge you that a older, you cannot retire. You may have to retread. But you don't retire because there are those who need to pass on, have passed on to them the Christian heritage that you have gained. And it is your responsibility to do that. I cannot come and do that in 3 days. No one else can. And so here we have all those that we've inherited. And so far, so good. Then we come to that and Jesus says, ah, but yes. With all of this, persecution. That spoils it for many people. That becomes a stumbling block. Those that are considering the Christian life come and say, but I didn't want that part. I want all you're talking about without those persecutions and hardships. You see, in our Western mindset, we think in terms of persecution as far as physical, possibly, difficulties and some mental struggle. But not so among the African people we know. They do not think so much in terms of the persecution coming from a physical source. Now, granted, we look at a country like Africa and see the severe condition and reach out with our hearts when we see how they are being wiped out. Generations are being wiped out through disease, famine, war, civil conflict. And it is difficult. But as I watch Christians in South Africa among the tribal groups growing, I see that they do not focus on the hardships of the physical aspects of their lives. They look into those hardships and they say, they think in terms of blessing in the hardship. And I think they have a more accurate picture of what it means. Because then when they start confronting the spiritual conflict, they have a far better insight. In Africa, we do not separate the physical from the spiritual so much as we do here. So it's all together to them in one sense. But if we have to start thinking, I believe, that it's not just the physical hardships that we may have. Yes, we have them. You've had them. But there's a far more severe kind of persecution than that we face. And that is the spiritual struggle we have in conveying the gospel. And the moment you drop your guard, the moment you start thinking that all I have to do is come and sing, come and pray, come and listen, and then live my good life, you've lost out on what it means to be a Christian. For you will not gain the blessing that you desire. Blessing is not measured in terms of physical things. If it is, your Christianity is not the brand of that of the Bible. God has promised to take care of those things. Let us leave it to Him. I had a new insight into this persecution that is encountered and how the African mind looks at it when Suzo came into our life. In 1993, he came. I introduced him to a Bible for the first time. He started to read it. We started to sit down. We worked through some passages of scripture. And 6 months later, I asked him to define or describe the conversion experience, what salvation is all about. And as I was driving him home in his car, he gave me a definition of an experience of salvation that I have never heard in any theological books. And I said, Lord, if this is salvation, I have had little insight into it. And then I asked Suzo, have you experienced it? And he sat there and he says, Brother Carlson, I'm here this evening to tell you that I have described my life of faith in Christ. He worked in South Africa for 3 years. From Malawi, two countries up from us. 7 days ride by taxi. And he had come down there because he could make in 1 day in South Africa working as a gardener what it took him a month to make in Malawi. And so he decided to come. He was the eldest man in his family. He's the patriarch. He decided to come to work, save his money, buy the necessary things that he needed to take back to improve his conditions at home, to buy the seed and the fertilizer and the staple things of life that they had and the clothing. And he collected all these things, and on the day that it was time to go, he had hired a taxi to take all those things home. And when he arrived home 7 days later, he got out of the taxi, and he got out not realizing that all he had with him that was left were the clothes on his body and a very little bit of money. Someone had stolen everything. He wrote to us in June while we were here in the United States. And here's what he said. While returning home to Malawi by taxi, everything was stolen. My clothes from my family, sugar, tea, and money. I have no seeds to plant and no fertilizer, so there will be little food for us. But it's always important what follows after the word but. I believe in God. That God that Suzo was talking about, I know the God he was talking about. For it's the same God I serve. For we had worked through that. It's the same God my father served. It's the same God of Abraham. And he goes on to say, and the words from his Bible are my food, my sugar, and my tea. Now, if you encountered that experience, what would you, if you had a chance of knowing someone from America like he did, what would you write and ask them for? Knowing that in America there is so much more. Here's what he wrote. Please, Brother Paul, give me more scriptures to read so I can teach my family. I am now teaching 13 people here in my home about Jesus Christ. persecution. We have not experienced that. And yet that's what he comes through with. As we have heard during our missions conference, that in God's love for us, in sending his son to die for us, before his final departure from this earth, Jesus Christ gave a final command to his believers, to his followers. He could have given many, many other kinds of commands. But remember that one that we heard about and we read about so often in Matthew, go make disciples, teach them to obey everything I have commanded you. I'm sure you know the gospel message. I'm going to assume you know the gospel message. And I'm going to show you why tonight. And to appreciate something of the task that we as missionaries have, and you as those here have, I need to have some activity from you, so as I can, you can visualize something of what we encounter. And in order to do that, I need 11 volunteers from the audience. And so I'm going to pick on the adults this evening because you had your turn, okay? But you should teach your parents the enthusiasm you have, because it's like catching crawfish to get them out of here and keep running away. I need 6 of the brothers. And Grayling, are you here? He's not here? You know? Where is he? Oh, he ran away. I told him I was going to use him, and he ran. Okay, who wants to take Grayling's place? He was a volunteer, and he ran. Okay, come, brother, and 5 others come with you. 5 more brothers come with this brother, and I need 5 sisters. Come forward and stand right in front here. Nothing will harm you. There's no pain involved. But there are eternal benefits. So come forward. And then the faster you come, the quicker we'll get done, and the faster you'll get to that food. While my wife is distributing the people among the, in the right place, ladies, what's wrong? 2 more, come. I need 3 more ladies. Please. Muniskam diasni, don't be shy. Everyone knows you. There. See what I said? Lobster? Yeah. 2 more men. Whoa. Okay. I'm gonna help for you to move forward. Okay, 2 more men. 2 more men. And are we enough with ladies? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We need 1 more lady, do we not? We need people without glasses. And there it goes. Okay. 1 more lady. I didn't think they were this shy. Get them out in the water and they're not shy, I can tell you that. Are you okay? Am I coming off? Here we go. Okay, while these people are getting organized, I'd like to tell you that it didn't give us the approximate population of the world today at standing at 5.5 billion. Let us assume they are accurate in that. And I have taken the 5.5 billion people in the world today and divided them into groups of 0.5 billion. And so, and I want each person here to represent 0.5 billion people. So I need 11 people. Am I right in my mathematics? Good. Okay. Now, what they have discovered, what they have come up with in working through this aspect of evangelism is that there are 7 different people groups. And we will refer to them as that tonight. And so we want to work through this and work through those people groups and show you something about this aspect of going, discipling, and teaching, obeying the Lord. 0.5 billion people. are represented by committed Christians. I don't know what you think of as a committed Christian, but I think a committed Christian has something to do with the Bible. In fact, I think I believe that the committed Christian considers the Bible his authority, and that is what you will obey in the power of the Holy Spirit. So our first person stands with the Bible before you, showing that he is committed to this book and this way. A person of the book. Would you agree with me on that type of definition? Would you accept that? Okay, I see some nods. And then we have 1 billion people, represented by the next 2 people, who are referred to as nominal Christians. Now, I think of them in terms of marginal Christians, cultural Christians. They are the ones that are quite content just to wear the right things, or say the right things, go through the traditions and rituals, and think they are good Christians. 1 billion people in the world today are classified like that. That's twice as much as those, as many as those classified as committed. And then we have 1.5 billion people represented by the next 3 people before us who have heard the gospel message at least once. And these 3 men are representing the people, 1.5 billion people who have heard the gospel message at least once and are unresponsive. Then we have 1 billion people, that would be the next 2 ladies with us here, who are Muslim, who practice Islam. Now, Muslims are around the world and they are very divided. In South Africa, we have the very militant type of Muslim who were excommunicated from the country of Pakistan. They were third-rate citizens, moved down to South Africa, and they are in defiance against any other religion, especially Christianity. There are 1 billion of those. There are 500 million people who are Hindu. And so once again tonight we have the sari that represents the Hindu people, different color. Those of you that were here last night, this is 17 feet, you know it's 17 feet of silk. And the Indian people wear it. The Hindu people wear it, especially in their traditional dress and in their festivities and in their worship. 500 million people are represented in the world today as Hindus. Then we also have, it takes quite a while to get it on, but you would agree with me it's a very elegant dress. My wife, by the way, wears one tonight and in the other night that was given to her by the sisters in South Africa as a way of giving greeting to you and saying thank you for your part in the gospel that has come through my life. 500 million people in the world today practice a primal religion. We are thinking of Buddhism. We are thinking of animism. We are thinking of ancestral worship. And tonight you have in front of you representatives of the people who would practice animism, the Sotho tribal people in South Africa. The reason why she is wearing a blanket is that they live in the mountainous areas, and a blanket obviously is very effective for warmth. And then the hat is, they consider, the best to keep the sun off. I have not seen one in the waters around Bahama. I would think the Three Sisters could promote that hat quite well. It doesn't blow off in the wind. You can hang it up. It's got all practical aspects to it, and it lasts for a long time. It will even float if you leave it in the water. Then we have 500 million people in the world today who claim to be atheists. They think they know the truth. There are 500 million people who claim that. We have 7 people groups in front of us. Now I want to tell you something about the past. In South Africa, our responsibility, our encounters have been that we have to touch six of the seven different groups. The only group that we have personally not encountered in South Africa would be the Asians. Everyone we meet in South Africa claims to believe in some sort of green beast. Even the Communist Party leader, Joe Slovo, who you would think does not believe that God exists, says, oh yes, there is some kind of being out there. And when he died of cancer last year, they buried him in the Christian way. But he decided to. Now there's no way we can present the gospel to each group the same way. We present the same message indeed. For God so loved the world. No question about that. But how it's delivered, how we work through that, is our responsibility as missionaries. Now I want to bring some alarming facts. In order to do that, on my right-hand side here, let's start from the third row, and you start with number one, and count off. 39 of you count off. 1, 2, 3. As you count, stand up for me, okay? As you count, stand up. Start right here, the fellow with the striped shirt. Say one and stand up. How far are we? Keep going to 39. 39. On this side, I want one. And brother, you've been selected. Stand. Just one. Now here's the situation. 39 out of a total of 40. For every 39 people who obey the Lord's command to go make disciples and teach, go to these three groups. Who are these three groups? The committed Christian. The nominal Christian who is quite content to sit there soaked and sour. And by the way, do you know how to make dill pickles? You let them sit, you let them soak, and you let them sour. And that's the tragedy of Christianity, what we call Christianity today, where there are twice as many people in the church who claim to be Christians, and they're sitting and soaking and sour. But 39 people go to them. And then we have also, this group, which are those who have heard the gospel message at least once, and I'm talking about in a clear way, the gospel impact, that they have heard, but they are unresponsive. 39 out of every 40 come to these three groups. 1 out of 40, every 40, come to the remainder. That's it. You know why we're in South Africa? Do you know why the Johnsons are in Burundi? Do you know I Rex and Nancy have been concerned about Africa and have been there and are still concerned? I hope you do. I've had a young lady come to me in Minneapolis and said, oh, would I love to go back to South Africa. But no one's guiding me, no one's telling me what I really need to do. She says, I am now in the inner city of Minneapolis, and I think it's a substitute. And I said, it is a substitute, because you've got hundreds down there. And we're crying out. We have a dozen opportunities in a dozen different places in South Africa, and we can only be in one place. The harvest is ready. The laborers are few. Now, I don't underestimate the need for the 39 out of 40 going to these people. We need to continue with these people. I think you would agree with that. But doesn't it look a little off balance? Would you agree? And let me ask you, if you are part of the first group, committed Christians, have you had a call from the Lord? I'm not talking about age. I'm not talking about ability. I'm talking about the work of God in the life. So, or I'm talking about staying and getting behind those that are going because they've received the call and paying what it costs to go. And you paying the cost to get them to go. I want to talk to you who are nominal Christians. You are representatives. Are you content to come here on the island with a Christian heritage? To let someone else do it? And to go into your glory and say, Lord, I was faithful. I followed all the traditions of Jesus. I want to talk to you that have heard the gospel. And as I understand it, you have heard it many, many times on this island. I go to people in Africa who have never heard it once. What I want to ask, how many times do you have to hear the gospel before you're going to respond? What more will it take? Not more work. There are plenty. Are you talking wrong? Now is the day of salvation. You have no promise that you're going to be here tomorrow. What about you that have a religion of your own? You may call it Christian, but you have developed a religion that you're comfortable with, and that helps you to appease the God you know, and that Jesus Christ is a good man, and God is the creator, but he has no part in it, because you are following a system of works. You're still under a bondage to sin. Every day, every year, you have to release yourself somehow from that bondage, that darkness that is over you. No amount of work can achieve for you what only Jesus Christ has done. If you are that kind, you may not practice the main religion here tonight. If you are one of these, what about you who say there's no God? If there were a God, I wouldn't be sick. He wouldn't do these kind of things. And you like the one who's living in darkness, and the lights are on. The problem is, you see, if we turn the lights off here tonight, and we've never seen light, we wouldn't know when the light came on, because we wouldn't understand what they are. People love darkness. I want you to sit down, thank you, and you folks to take your outfits off and see it. And as they are doing that, I want you to sit quietly and ask yourself what it has meant to you in your position, Christ God. You belong to us. Let us pray.
Our gracious Heavenly Father, our hearts have been exposed to reality tonight of the conditions that are in the world today. And we believe from your word that you have not chosen another method, but the method of raising up those you have, whom you have called, to live for, give for the gospel message. And we plead with you, through your Holy Spirit, to convict. That we will not go from here tonight as we can. And we will be restless in our spirits, in our hearts, until we have responded as you would have us to respond. And for those that have truly been involved in the Great Commission, Lord, do not allow the evil one to distract them from the tremendous task. For those who have heard the gospel message over and over on this island, Lord, soften their hearts. We pray. For those you have called unto yourself and are living for you, we ask for sensitive hearts, that we might not become complacent as so many are, content to sit. We humbly come before you tonight, pleading these requests, for it is in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that we come, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Shall we pray once more and give thanks for the food? And right after we finish, we'll sing the little chorus, "People Need the Lord," on the way out. If there are any here tonight that would like to find out more about being sure that heaven will be their eternal home, I'd be glad to talk with you right afterwards. Just mention it to me as you go out the door there. Let's pray. Father, we do want to thank thee now for thy love to us. Through looking at the various peoples in our world, we thank thee that thy love is great enough to meet their need, because it's all been met through the Lord Jesus Christ. In him we have fellowship, and as we enjoy that fellowship tonight, we ask for thy rich blessing around the tables, enjoying the good gifts that thou hast given to us, all the food that thou hast provided, together with the fellowship, and the blessing that goes to those who have worked so hard to prepare it. Father, we just thank thee now, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
People need the Lord.